Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, back in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Good Wednesday to everyone. Worked my way back last night. Finally got back this morning. Got rid of a few Marriott points last night. Instead of driving all 7 hours and getting back at 5:30 in the morning. So, great to have you with us. Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated is going to join us today. We're going to talk Penn State recruiting, the Lash Bash over the weekend, and Penn State is on the doorstep of a pair of verbal commitments before the week is out, according to what Ryan is reporting. And he will talk about that and which ones he's expecting before the week is out. We'll discuss that with him on the show in the next half hour. And then Bill Hillgrove is on tomorrow. And coming up on Friday, Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, actually join us in the Sunbury Motors studio. He's actually going to be here. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And I think we're close to getting John Orrand, right?
Yep, we're still doing some emailing back and forth with John Orrand, and also a longtime MLB.com baseball writer, Paul Hagan. He'll be joining us on Monday. Talk trade deadline with Paul.
Very good. We'll do that. Talk about that and the state of the Phillies organization as well. We also have have we put out yet our football preview yet as where we're going to be and so forth? And on the 22nd?
Yeah, we've already been sending invites out to various folks. Yes, we are going to be. You want to mention it or I can?
No, go ahead. You do it.
All right. Monday, August 22nd, we'll be doing the Steve Jones Show live at the beautiful Penn's Tavern, room 147 just outside of Sunbury. And Tom Mertz and his lovely wife, Liz, they did a phenomenal job of remodeling the place. Just recently opened it a few weeks back. Early previews and early reviews have been absolutely phenomenal, so we're looking forward to doing the show there on Monday the 22nd. So, yeah, folks can come by and see us and take part in the show. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're actually going to do the show there.
That's right.
We're going to have, I know, one special guest in particular we're going to have there, which we're looking forward to very much, that will be able to talk baseball with us. So we got that. Here's the next one. Are we set on the 18th to do the Little League World Series? That sound right? In terms of doing the show there. Did I read that right, wrong?
And we're still going back and forth for that as well.
Well, I mean, all I got to do is line the field. What other stuff do I have to do?
I thought the exact same thing.
I'm pretty sure they've got plenty of Cracker Jacks ordered. We're good. Like, we'll just sit there. We'll just give me some power, okay? I'll bring a power strip with me. I just need an outlet. After that, it's all good.
We have a minimum of 3 long extension spools in blaze orange. Can't miss them, and a whole bunch of duct tape, so no one trips.
This is where we specialize. We're very good at duct tape. Very good at. We are top shelf on duct tape, or as we will refer to from time to time, gaffer's tape.
I
So we'll do that. All right. Well, we'll just work on it.
Yep.
We'll just work on it. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. Just get out there and just work on it. We're always trying to make sure we're in the right spot, right time.
Least you can do is ask. Like I always say, if you don't ask, it's always a no.
Yeah. I mean, you know, might as well find out what the deal is and then go from there. I mean, that's essentially what we do. We try to find out what the deal is. And that's why we've been able to line up as many people as we've been able to line up, because we're getting more yeses than nos. I'm like, that's a good thing.
Yes, we want to tilt the deck in the other direction.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. So we're getting more yeses than nos right now. And we'll continue to do that. So we got Phil Hillgrove coming up later in the week. He's on tomorrow. Ryan Snyder today, Nate Bauer on Friday, Tony DeFazio Friday. We're also working on getting Tony Knott back on the show, too. Tony likes coming on the show.
Love his perspective on the business of sports.
Used to drive the suit nuts.
Oh, I know.
I mean, for the suit, the Tony Knott was like a ruin the childhood moment. But that's what it is. It's a business. I know I was talking to relatives yesterday. My aunt and uncle went to the game. My cousin Donna was at the game. And I was talking to him about, you know, renovating Beaver Stadium and so forth. And I said to build a whole new one, I said the cost of that is gigantic. I mean, that's just the way it is today. And that's why you see these brand new palaces, and you've got to have all that advertising sold all over the place. Because these stadiums that they're building these days are all over $1 billion. You know, I did the Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium. Do you realize, because I decided to do, you know, you try to do a little bit of research on certain things that you want to use in a broadcast. For example, Brian Johnson pitched last night for the Lowell Spinners against the Red Sox. Well, he'd been the first round pick, and he pitched against the Spikes when he just signed in 2012, the whole deal. And I knew that there was a reason he was back pitching, so I went through and I did some research and found out about his anxiety issues, about his carjacking, about the shot being fired near him when his vehicle was carjacked, and, you know, so on and so forth. So you try to talk about all that. But when I did the Pinstripe Bowl, I wanted to look up some things about New Yankee Stadium. I obviously knew a lot about Old Yankee Stadium, but New Yankee Stadium, the first thing that you find out was that when it was built, I think, what, I want to say 2008, 2009, maybe it was 2009, it was the 17th most expensive building ever built in the world. Not in New York. Right? Not in the United States. It was the 17th most expensive building ever built in the world. Well, that's where these stadiums are now. Jerry World, Yankee Stadium, one after another. Minnesota's new stadium, which is finally, I think it's just about done now. They're moving in this year. $975 million, so we're a shade under $1 billion, but no retractable roof. And then there's Yankee Stadium, no roof anyway. Then there's MetLife Stadium, or, you know, Giants Stadium. All right, $1.6 billion. No roof. So building stadiums now, and we'll get the, is so expensive that all the advertising you see, corporate partners, things like that, you know, it doesn't just go to salaries. You got to help pay for the place. And it's not easy. That's why, for example, you've seen certain places, for example, Texas A&M renovated. they were going to tear down Fenway Park in the late 90s. John Henry bought the team with Larry Lucchino, Tom Warner. Their determination was, no, we can do something with this. And to their credit, they have. They've added on and reinforced the entire ballpark. Where now, it may be 104 years old, but it has a great feel to it. To build an entire new one, you're talking, 10 figures. I mean, what would it take to build Camden Yards today? And remember, Camden Yards is the one that started this explosion of ballparks across the country with that new old look and the incorporation of the warehouse as a background and things like that. It was brilliant. HOK, which is now Populous, did that. But what would it cost to build that today? Then there's the Tottenham project. You know about the Tottenham project, right?
That's right. White Hart Lane, Tottenham Hotspur, has been playing there for, oh my goodness, probably well over a century, pretty close. So they're going to move out of there and they get a new stadium.
Well, the new stadium, Scott Radisic was showing me this, because Populous is doing this. They have two fields. Because when the NFL, when they're playing three games a year, they're not going to play at Wembley, they're going to play at Tottenham. And what happens is, the pitch is grass. And you hit a button and the pitch peels away and a field turf NFL field rises. How about that?
That's pretty cool. Kind of reminds me of the field out in Arizona that they automatically move outside to get daylight and then bring it back in.
Yeah, they water it outside, the whole thing. It's on a gigantic tray. And what they do is, in Arizona, the concrete floor is what, if you were to take a tour of the stadium, that's what you would see as the concrete floor. Because the field's outside. And they're watering it, taking care of whatever, and then they hit a button, boom, and this conveyor belt brings it in. That's how they do it. It's different and it's amazing. But that's what's happening today with stadiums being built. And it's a completely different, the price is off the charts. Now, obviously, you can put in what you want, but, there's something that I've discussed many times on the show. If you are going to do something to that scale, you got to be able to do it right. With the idea you've got the next 40 to 50 years are in there. You don't want to go back in 5, 6, 7 years and go, I wish we'd done that. Let's add it in now, because it's going to be more expensive when you do. And that's the attitude people are taking. When the Yankees built Yankee Stadium, it may have been the 17th most expensive building in the world, but the idea was that was going to be Yankee Stadium for the next 50 years. So they put in everything that they thought they needed to have into that stadium. Tottenham, same thing. Tottenham is sitting there. Look, if they get an NFL expansion team in London, they're going to get the team. Why? Because they're equipped to do it. Well, that makes everything pay off there in the, how many dates do they have in the Premier League? 19 home dates?
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah, they play, 38 games? Yeah.
You're shocked, I know that. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Back in the days, the suit had a garage band. This was it. Just kidding. All right. Great to have you with us. Next half hour, it's going to be Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. We'll talk about recruiting. The Lash Bash took place over the weekend. And the they're on the verge of getting a couple of verbals, which he'll talk about. And again, they're only verbals, but, you know, people like to see momentum in recruiting and how important that is. And we will talk about that and get into that. And also some other interesting aspects of recruiting, some ancillary aspects of recruiting. The Big 12 says they are going to explore expansion. I believe the reason is money. Show of hands if anybody thinks I'm wrong. Who are the leading candidates? The leading candidates would be Cincinnati, UConn, BYU. Not necessarily in that order. A fourth candidate could be Houston. Others that would be considered would be Tulane, Memphis, Central Florida, South Florida, San Diego State, Boise State, Colorado State. Now, none of them that you're seeing there bring with it the wow factor. Remember, the Big 12 has been a conference that has been poached. Nebraska went to the Big 10. Colorado went to the Pac-12. Texas A&M and Missouri went to the SEC. So they've lost teams. ACC, of course, also ended up losing Maryland, which went to the Big Ten. So we'll talk more about that and the pros and cons of the top four schools on that list. And each of them has some pros, and each one has some cons. And honestly, we're not trying to con you. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Recruiting next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Time now for This Day in Sports History, and then Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated. 1859, Brooklyn and New York played baseball at Fashion Park Racecourse on Long Island. The game marked the first time that admission was charged to see a baseball game. It cost 50 cents to get in. The players on the field did not receive a salary. I believe things have changed. In 1947, the National Football League ruled that no professional team could sign a player who had college eligibility remaining. Now, of course, that's been modified. You have to have completed 3 years beyond your senior year in high school. 1958, the PGA Championship changed from match play to stroke play. 1974, there was an outstanding filly racehorse by the name of Chris Evert, named after the tennis pro. And a match race between Chris Evert and Miss Musket. Chris Evert won by 50 lengths, winner-take-all match race, Hollywood Park. Hollywood Park, of course, is going bye-bye. That's where the Rams' new stadium is being built. In 2003, Ben Curtis won the Open Championship. His only major. I think that might be his only win. Well, if you're going to win one, might as well win that one. Not bad. That's This Day in Sports History. Time now to bring in Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated. Something we should understand right away. All the things that we're talking about with Ryan are already on Rivals and BWI. He does not speak out of turn. So anything you hear from us, don't
sit there and say, well, I didn't see that on there, and wow, he said it on the air. Now, Ryan has already put out whatever we talk about here, just so everybody knows.
Definitely not.
No, but so that way people know. That way, the part of that is, well, he went on the show, but he didn't put it on the site, and that's not true. That's not how you operate.
Nope.
Let's start with Lash Bash. They brought in a lot of guys, all the current people that have verbaled, along with others. What kind of feel and dynamic did you get out of that when you talked to people afterward?
It's, you ask the fans, right? And, you know, according to fans, I guess, publicly, there wasn't commitments publicly. But behind the scenes, that's a little different story. And I think we're going to start in about half hour to an hour now, we're going to be hearing about Braylon Fasten Walton, who's a linebacker out of North Carolina. Pretty confident in saying Penn State's about to get a commitment from him. And they're about to get another commitment here on Saturday from Jonathan Sutherland. He's originally from Canada. He actually plays at Episcopal down in Virginia now. So, you know, publicly, you know, a lot of fans will be thinking, it maybe not have been as successful as years past, but it's a little different story, actually. And, you know, I'm sure the coaches would love to put some info out there, but obviously their hands are a little tied a bit. And it's up to the players for when they want to announce their commitment. So we're going to see what happens here a little bit. But I think there's a lot of good news coming from that perspective, you know, when it comes to commitments. But really, I think the most important thing that really comes out of these events is getting family A together with family B, with family C, because at the end of the day, that's what James Franklin is really trying to promote. He really wants to get these guys together, build a bond, so by the time that they get on campus, you know, it's not, oh, hey, you know, what's your name? I'm so-and-so. You know, these guys are already good friends. You know, their families know each other. And that's really what you get out of this Lash Bash. You're getting the families to travel from all across the region to hang out, have a dinner together, and then also, you know, build on that Penn State family with some of the players and the coaches and, you know, everybody that works hard up in Lash. So, you know, from a public perspective, you know, commitments and all that, you're going to hear some of that stuff very soon. But behind the scenes, I think that just that camaraderie, bringing everybody together to build stronger relationships is maybe probably the biggest thing that comes out of that.
On the surface, they have fewer numbers to deal with. So how much more selective are you now at the stage because of the numbers you currently have to hand out?
Very selective. As we saw in, 2012, 2013.
Yep. I've seen it. I've seen this forever.
Absolutely.
If you were to ask me years where I knew they had, I think one year there was 11, another year they were able to sign 12, 13, 14. This is over the last 30-something years. Those are the ones where they're waiting to the end because guys are waiting to the end and you're hanging to the end for those people.
Exactly. You know, Penn State's always going to go after quality guys. At the end of the day, you know, you'll have, you know, back in the last couple of years, you had some sanctions and stuff to deal with. And, you know, that hurt them from that perspective where, you know, they may have to go for plan B, plan C kind of guys. But that's not the case right now. And that's why I really think that Penn State's going to have to be patient here. They don't have a choice. You know, when you have someone like a Lamont Wade, for example, who's a top prospect and, you know, who's already made it clear that while he loves Penn State, you know, he wants to take some visits during the season. You have to wait for a guy like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's extremely important. And then there's linebackers that are in the same boat. There's defensive linemen that are in the same boat. You know, these are very, very important positions where
a running back.
Yeah, running back, for example, very, very important with DeAndre Swift. Although I'll be honest, I think Swift's going down south, but we'll see about. Although one thing with running backs, Steve, and you'll know this, is that if they miss out on Swift, it's not the end of the world. You know, if it was a year or two down the road, I think it'd be a little bit of a different story. Mm-hmm. But you know, just because of Miles and Saquon and obviously Andre, you know, just moving Jonathan Thomas, you know, the linebacker, for example, just kind of shows how deep they are right there.
Right.
But exactly, my point though is just that, you know, they got to be patient. And they will. You know, this season's very, very important. You know, results on the field are important. But just kind of, I don't really even think it's necessarily wins and losses. I think it's just seeing progress. That's really the most important thing that a lot of these players want to see. And I think these coaches are going to show them that, too. Especially, you know, it starts early with week two and, you know, Temple in week three and Michigan in week four. These guys are going to have a really good idea about this offense. And not only that, but how Brent Pry controls the defense. pretty early in the season.
Right, exactly. They'll get a chance to see that. I know one area where James Franklin really feels great is when he does get the guys on campus. Satellite camps are something that everybody has to do right now, and you've got to throw your heart and soul and enthusiasm into satellite camps. But when you talk to the coaches and then you in turn also talk to some of the guys here, what does it mean when you get them on campus here?
Penn State can sell soft. A lot of schools can't. You know this, but I think everybody listening knows this. You know, Penn State has an academic tradition that is legitimately better than most schools. Not only that, but I mean, just the town of State College is very unique. You know, you don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great college towns out there. I've enjoyed many myself over the years, but you know, State College is a little different. You know, it truly is. You know, the college truly does kind of build that town. So just getting there to show them that atmosphere, show them that culture is huge. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you can build relationships on a totally different level, you know, giving, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours to the coaches, you know, sitting down, watching film, just little things like that, you know, really kind of takes that relationship to a different level. I mean, you can only talk about so much over a phone for a half hour to an hour. But you get a family together and, you know, just going over film, introducing them to the wait staff, introduce them to a couple players, you know, introduce them to the academic staff, especially that brand new academic building, you know, amazing looking, you know, just getting them and showing them all around and every little tiny detail that Penn State has to offer. It really is kind of what initiates relationships, especially with younger guys. I mean, you know, the top prospects we talk about today, you know, Swift, Lamont Wade, these kind of guys, they know what Penn State has. Getting those younger guys on campus, 2018 prospects, you know, guys that are still sophomores, you know, and showing them everything for the first time, you know, when they're able to do that, which is, you know, a lot of that happened back this past weekend with the last batch, you know, from there on forward, that's when those prospects go out of their way to talk to the coaching staff, to talk to, you know, Franklin and their assistant coaches. That's really how those relationships get sparked after those first really important visits.
Yeah, you feel that there are a couple of verbals coming out of this thing when it's all said and done.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to hear one here very soon. You know, it's like I said, publicly is one thing, but what happened behind the scenes is a little different. So we'll see what happens, but I'm pretty confident saying Penn State's going to have a linebacker here in literally a matter of hours. They're going to have a very solid safety prospect in Jonathan Sutherland here. He's committing on Saturday. And then there's another prospect to keep an eye on, Braylon Franklin. Mm-hmm. He's basically right now a linebacker, but he's very good at it. You know, he kind of like the star position would work. I mean, even strong safety to some example could possibly work. We'll see how he progresses and grows. But Braylon's going to announce there in the first week of August, and you know, he's made it no secret going into this past weekend that he left Penn State. You know, by the time he left, it was that appreciation for the school and the staff was only stronger. So those are three guys that I really do believe here within the next, you know, what, 10 to 14 days. We'll see solid commitments from, and all of them are very important prospects for the staff as well. Mm. So it'll be good to get some momentum going.
You're very judicious in your contact with recruits. In other words, you don't like to overwhelm them. You pick your spots. That way, when they see you're calling or texting them, you know, because you're not all over them all the time, I think it means something to them. When you have talked to them about fan involvement, because people are extremely passionate, for the most part, how do they react to fan involvement?
I love that question. I love that question. I'm so happy you asked that question. It's wild, Steve. It's obviously it's a mixed bag. You know, there are some guys that love it. There's some guys that literally I'll do interviews with them, and you know they'll talk about all these Penn State fans hitting them up on Twitter, and you know some of them love that stuff. There are others that hate it. And there are others that, in a way, fans hurt Penn State. So it's a mixed bag. You know, I would say it's pretty close to 50-50, really. You know, I've talked to many over the years that, you know, oh, my God, I can't stand it. You know, I have all these random people, you know, chiming in every day, telling me this, telling me that. And there are other guys that really just love it. You know, they see that and they see the passion that the fan base has. So it's a pretty mixed bag. I know that. You know, there are some people that take it a little too far, probably, but there are also people that understand, hey, look, you know, I'm not sending them messages every day, you know, here and there wishing them luck, which I personally don't think is a big deal. Now, people that maybe create specific, you know, Twitter accounts just to comment literally every single day. I think that's probably going a little far, and I think that that does bug some recruits. I know that actually bugs some recruits, but at the same time, I mean, it really is a mixed bag. Some guys love it, some guys don't like it, and you know, it's just kind of the world we live in now. It's if you're going to have a Twitter account and you're going to be a top prospect, you're going to have to deal with that.
Right.
How it is, basically.
Well, exactly. I mean, and people are passionate. I mean, there is appreciation for the passion of it, but at the same time, there are professionals to handle this. Oh, and here's one now here's the next part. Obviously, with everything that Penn State's gone through, and the stories have not stopped, what about the element of negative recruiting?
It's tough. It's tough for me to really judge and comment, just mainly because it's tough to get guys to open up about it.
Okay.
It really is. Now, after guys commit and, you know, been committed for a month, 2 months, 3 months, they'll open up about it more. And it's easier to talk about, but then it's never as big of a story either, of course. You know, when I've noticed over the years that it is really difficult for guys to open up about that. Now, don't get me wrong, it definitely takes place, and it goes both ways, of course. I think that, you know, some of the stuff that you've seen over the last couple of months has absolutely come back to hurt Penn State, and it really is very overrated. I think we all know that a lot of this stuff is kind of just being made into a little more than what it is. But don't get me wrong, I mean, it's something that still definitely clouds the program, and it's a little unfortunate because I think the story itself is basically over and done with, and some people kind of want to keep it going. But either way, I mean, it's not going to go anywhere anytime soon, and I just think the coaching staff has to just keep fighting, keep plugging away and doing what they're doing. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if a guy really wants to come to Penn State, you know, they're going to listen to what James and his staff have to say, and they're going to, you know, overlook that kind of stuff. And those usually tend to be the guys that are more mature, smarter guys, care about academics and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. which fits that Penn State mold. That's what Penn State fans want to see. So, you know, I don't think it impacts the majority of the guys that really, you know, fit into this program and or what this program's about. But there are always going to be 3, 4, 5 guys each year that probably are impacted that to some degree.
One final one. And by the way, the guys that are recruiting now were 11, 12, and 13 at the time when things broke out. I think sometimes people lose perspective on that as well. One final item. What do you know about the last piece of the 2016 recruiting class?
The last piece as in, Taylor Chavis. That's a good question. I'll be honest with you, I'm at the beach right now, and I'll
there?
Be back in a couple of days.
Is he
so
there?
I'm
there?
I'm going to start digging on it then.
If he's there, you know, you could not.
We'll see. I think he's going to be okay. I mean, you probably know more about it than I do. I know from what I understand. You know,
the difference is you can talk. I can't talk.
Yeah, exactly. From what I understand, it's the schools. It's kind of more of a school issue than the players' issue. It has to do more with saying credits are working when behind the scenes they didn't quite work out. So from what I understand, he's clarifying that right now, and he should be. If he's not there the very first week, he should be there maybe about the second week of preseason. But it's definitely been a bit of a saga, so we'll have to just kind of keep our eyes open and see what's going on. But from what I understand, progress is being made, and I think he's going to be there in a couple of weeks. It's just kind of have to something we'll have to watch.
Right. It's not unusual, by the way. Over the years, that has always been an issue here.
Absolutely.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't care whether you're transferring because you want to be in the band, or you want to transfer because because there's a major here, whatever. The ability to accept credits here has always been something that is always in flux, and you're not sure. I mean, so it's not
exactly.
It really is not unusual. All right, hey Ryan, thanks so much. Enjoy the beach. Appreciate the time.
Take care, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Thanks to Ryan Snyder, Bluetta Illustrated, for joining us. Tomorrow we'll have Bill Hillgrove on, the voice of the Steelers and Pitt football and basketball. Coming up on Friday, Nate Bauer, Bluetta Illustrated, and also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. So we have a lot going on. Then we'll head into next week, and next week will take care of itself. That's our attitude. That's how we do things.
Already working on next week.
It's our attitude is like Scarlett O'Hara. Tomorrow's another day.
First, I'm going to say Rhett Butler, I don't give a damn, but no, we do.
No. We went with Scarlett. Yeah, Scarlett. Scarlett?
I'm just concerned with you all the time that you've been away from home base for a little over a week or so. People at the golf course are probably concerned about you.
I guess they didn't put me on a milk carton, but I mean,
that's good.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, because you made the reference, you finally got under 80 and think, okay, he's walking off into the sunset. He's good. He's under 80.
I haven't. In fact, I have not. I haven't played since. What's today, the 20th? I haven't played in 2 weeks.
Whoa.
The 6th is when I did. It's the last time I played.
Clubs are getting dusty.
Hey, tell me about it. Sacrilege. I'm telling you. I'm getting upset now.
Sorry.
I'm starting to lose my temper. And you know how mad I get.
Ugh, I tell you.
I mean, the yelling and screaming I've done in your direction.
Well, you and I have known each other for, about a decade and a half, and I can only remember so far just one time. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I think that was an equipment issue.
Yes, that was That wasn't toward me. I know that.
Like, I had nothing to do with you.
I know.
But then when you gave me the advice that it was all built in the Soviet Union, and if I hit it on the side, suddenly out of nowhere, voila.
And the MacGyver, I brought the MacGyver reference up too. Just MacGyver.
A huge fan of MacGyver. You know what? I think I only saw that show once. Ever.
Yeah, me too.
I think one time I saw that show. Huh. All right. Next hour, we'll take your calls at 1-800-795-9565. We're brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.